Morning, everyone. Thank you, Val, for leading this morning. It just struck me, just a little thought that I didn't plan on speaking about, but just to say that, do you know, I think God's more in control of our lives than we give him credit for. He knows everything about us, and he knows what he's doing. He plans our lives more than we think he does, and so we do well to think about that when the going's not so easy. He's in control, and we need to remember that. So the reading this morning is from Nehemiah. Nehemiah, if you can find it, it's after Chronicles, after Ezra, way in the middle of the Bible somewhere, and it's chapter 1. You remember Nehemiah? He was the chap who was cupbearer to the king in exile in Susa, I think, and yes, in Susa, the citadel of Susa, somewhere in Iraq, Iran, somewhere around there, and he'd heard about the tragedy of Jerusalem. I mean, he and his kinsmen had been exiled. And he was just considering what was going on. So we start chapter 1 of Nehemiah. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands and decrees and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." Which man was that? I was cupbearer to the king. Let's pray a second. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your tender love and mercies new every day. And today we just thank you for your presence with us. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was thinking that as we're considering the future of this church and those who are visiting, this is one of our issues at this time. A few weeks ago I said that we need to hear from God about how we're going to move on into the future, and we have a meeting here on Wednesday evening to discuss that further. So as we consider the future of our church, and as we consider the future of worship here, how we position ourselves before God and the world, and establishing with God's help our place in the community, how we worship, how we present worship, how we conduct worship, and any structural changes needed in the church and how we intend to move forward, loads of questions. Well, we need to hear from God. We need to hear from God as a fellowship. We need to hear from God as individuals. We each need to be hearing from God. Sorry to labour the point, but I think that's pretty certain. So I even ask myself whether I am hearing from God. And are we hearing from God? Have we been hearing from God so far in this journey for the church's future? I think my concern, if you haven't picked it up already, my concern is that we really do need to hear from God. And perhaps my concerns are that I have not heard much from any other people in this fellowship about what they're hearing. But I trust we are hearing from God. I trust that each one is focused on this problem, at least a small bit focused, so that they are praying, so they're listening and hearing what God is saying. Everyone needs to be receiving. Everyone needs to be interpreting what they're hearing from God. And where we have knowledge, if we have a word from God, it needs to be shared. And as I said before, I think it's most appropriate to write it down on a piece of paper. If you've got something you really feel is important, write it down, put your name on it, and let us have it so that we can consider it. If it's a serious word, then it's worth seriously writing it down, is what I would say. And of course, there are some pitfalls in this, and without labouring the point, sometimes we're hearing our own inner voice, not the voice of God. You know, we're so keen and enthusiastic that our inner voice supersedes, seems louder than the voice of God. So that's why we need to consider corporately what somebody thinks they've heard from God. Sometimes it's possible that we're hearing church opinion. We're mistaking the voice of God for the voice of others, the voice of man. So we might, for example, hear that down the road there's another church that does it this way and we ought to be like that, so should we copy what they're doing? Should we? And is that really what God wants? Or perhaps that isn't what God wants. We need to check that out. We need to hear that. We need to consider that. And so, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, what does it say? Verse 19 to 22, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecy. If somebody has a word, they genuinely feels a word, don't despise it. Let's treat it all the same and let's test it. So the next word is test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Do not quench the spirit. In other words, don't pour cold water on any move of the Holy Spirit. Don't despise prophecy. Allow prophecy to have its place and have its test. Test everything. Even ourselves. Even our hearts. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Of course we must avoid every kind of evil and keep ourselves focused on the paths of righteousness and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's a passage in 1 John which I thought was interestingly helpful, and so I'm going to read that and allow you to think about that. And it's 1 John 1, and it's starting at verse 12. And he's addressing the church body. He says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. This is 1 John 1, verse 12 to 14. So he's talking to three groups of people here. He's talking to children in the faith, people who have not long been Christians, but are firmly there in the in the family of God. He's talking to fathers and presumably mothers as well, that you've been mature in the faith, you've been around a long time, you've come to know God's ways. And he's talking to young men and presumably young women, because you have overcome the evil one. These people who are in the middle, not the eldest, not the youngest, in faith and probably in years, but those who are in the middle, those are the ones who've got energy, those are the ones who've got strength, those are the ones who have been going with God for some time and now want to rise up and be workers for God. I write to you young men and young women because you have overcome the evil one. And he repeats this. He says in the next few verses, I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. In becoming children, not just their sins were forgiven, but they've known him who has forgiven. They've known the Father. They know God. Let's not despise those who are young in faith. They know God. I write to you, fathers and mothers, those mature in the faith, because you've known him from the beginning. Quite a repeat, and such mature people are highly valued in the church. In fact, what struck me was such people, and many of us are mature, many of us have been around a long time, and what does he say in 1 Peter? Come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're being built into a bit like a physical building, except we're stones, living stones, being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. So we have a place for those who are mature in the faith, which is foundational in a church, which is instructional, which is to be formed into living stones and to be formed into a holy priesthood. And for those in the middle, young men and young women, all can be used by God. They can be used by God. And they are strong. And it says that they have overcome the evil one. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. So in each of the three categories of people, the children, the mature ones, and the young ones, the middle section of church, every strata in the church, they all know God. They all know that the word of God in their lives. So it's all possible for everyone to hear from God. Don't feel that you're excluded from being able to hear the word of God. You're not. The word of God is in you because of who you are and who you've become when coming into faith. And in further on in 1 John verse 20, what does he say? But he says, 1 John 2 verse 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Yeah, all of you know the truth. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But his anointing teaches you about all things. And as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. So there is an anointing on each one to be able to receive and apprehend the word of God. So everyone has the inborn ability through the Holy Spirit to hear the word of God, to interpret the word of God, to hear from God and to be able to share that with others. So back to this prayer of Nehemiah, and I was really struck by that. And it's very similar to the prayer that Daniel prayed. If you remember, Daniel was also in exile. And Daniel came across the fact that there were 70 years until the exile would finish. He says, this is in chapter 9 if you want to follow it. I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting, sackcloth and ashes, very similar to Nehemiah. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. I'll just read a few extracts. O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obeys his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you, O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him and have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your laws and turned away, refusing to obey you. And then it goes on in verse 17, Daniel says, Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favour on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act for your sake. O my God, do not delay because your city and your people bear your name. So Daniel didn't spell out a recipe for what God needed to do, and Nehemiah didn't either. There was no, and this is what we need to do, God, and will you get on with it, please? It was just a prayer to ask God to help in the circumstances. And we do well to remember that as we come before him. The formula for the prayer these two prayers, the one from Nehemiah and the one from Daniel, very similar. They describe God as great and awesome, powerful and merciful. They describe the sins of the people. And Nehemiah, in particular, accepts his responsibility for the sins of the people. He feels that he also has sinned. He may not have been alive for the period in which some of those sins were committed. He certainly wasn't, if you go back the hundreds of years when Israel and Judah were sinning. He certainly couldn't have been alive. But nevertheless, he is accepting responsibility for the previous generations that have sinned. And he's asking God to forgive all of them. They all bear some responsibility in this. And he does. He feels that himself. Nehemiah talks about the commands, decrees and laws which they fail to stick to. Such as, for example, just to explain the difference, commands to enter the promised land. You remember they failed to go into the promised land when they were commanded to in the beginning. The decree that the land had been promised, so that ought to have prompted them to believe that the promised land was their land. So then the law given to Moses on Mount Sinai, the many laws in the Ten Commandments and so on, which again they failed to keep. But we know that, and we know that he sent Jesus to redeem us from all the sins of that were piled on top of sin upon sin, from the transgressions against the Ten Commandments and everything else that we fail to do, both conscious and unconscious, willing and unwilling, things that we have failed to do or done deliberately. Then Nehemiah reminds God of his covenant with Moses. We can remind God of his covenant under his son Jesus. And he prays for the return of those scattered. We can pray for God to intervene in our circumstances and lead us into what needs to be done. He prays for success in the plan he's formulating, although we don't have any idea of what that plan is in that first part of Nehemiah. The only thing that he can come up with is, well, he asked the king for leave of absence to go to Jerusalem and see what he can do to help. And that is granted. That's first step in the plan. He could just see that far ahead. And the rebuilding of Jerusalem that Nehemiah undertakes with the help of many others, that comes later. And those plans are developed later. So what I wanted to get across this morning was we can all hear from God. We all need to hear from God, particularly under the circumstances that we're in. And the other thing is that we have a prayer in the Bible, both Daniel's prayer and Nehemiah's prayer, that we can make use of in our circumstances. So I was going to finish with going through this prayer with everybody. So thank you so much. Okay, so I'm going to read this prayer, and you can take this piece of paper home and pray over it in the days ahead. For the moment, just follow me, and then after we've gone through this prayer, Val will come and finish off the time of open prayer. And if you feel led to speak or say anything, then you have the opportunity then, or in the days that lie ahead, of course. Let's pray. O Lord God in heaven, you are great and awesome, full of grace and mercy. You keep your covenants and promises to those who love and obey you. We ask you to hear our prayer at this time. We confess the sins which have been committed by this fellowship of your people, such sins over the years that each and every generation in the life of this church, including those we ourselves may have committed, either consciously or unconsciously, in which we fail to obey you, Lord, and heed your commands. We fail to love you and show love to others. Where our faith in you, Lord, has been poor or even absent, we ask for forgiveness and restoration through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, your Son. Enable us to move forward as a fellowship of your people and determine, with your help, our future. According to your will and as it pleases you, bring in those people to join us that will be needed to fulfill your plans for us. We acknowledge again that this fellowship is your church, that it is your divine will that we seek for the future of this fellowship. It is not our church to determine for ourselves the future, but yours, Lord. We pray that you would bring in the resources, financial, people and spiritual, we need to build your church. We ask for your strength and resources to accomplish these things. We pray that we ourselves might be built like living stones into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood for you and your kingdom. Finally, we pray you would speak to us about the future of this church and direct our moves and formulate our plans according to your will, not ours. Hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.